sense is overwhelming that millions of Soviet citizens and those in the Soviet bloc satellite countries in Eastern Europe took his death almost as hard as we in America did. Nobel Prize-winning novelist John Steinbeck was in Warsaw when news of Kennedy's assassination reached the Polish capital. Steinbeck had been on a cultural tour of Iron Curtain countries at the time, and he said that the great sorrow he saw among the Polish people over Kennedy's death was the most fantastic thing I ever saw. I've never seen anything like it. The Poles said they'd never seen its like either, for anyone. Political author Thomas Powers cannot be accused of hyperbole when he observes that Kennedy's assassination was probably the greatest single traumatic event in American history. It is believed that more words have been written about the assassination than any other single one-day event in world history. Close to 1,000 books have been written. So why the need for this book, which can only add to an already overwhelming surfeit of literature on the case? The answer is that over 95% of the books on the case happen to be pro-conspiracy and anti-Warren Commission. So certainly there is a need for more balance to the debate. But more importantly, no book has even attempted to be a comprehensive and fair evaluation of the entire case, including all of the major conspiracy theories. On the issue of fairness, the more I studied the assassination and the writings of the conspiracy theorists and Warren Commission critics, the more I became disturbed with them. Though they accused the bipartisan Warren Commission of bias, distorting the evidence and deliberately suppressing the truth from the American people, I found that for the most part it was they, not the Warren Commission, who were guilty of these very same things. I haven't read all of the pro-conspiracy books. I don't know anyone who has. I have, however, read all the major ones, and a goodly number of minor ones. And with a few notable exceptions, when the vast majority of these conspiracy authors are confronted with evidence that is incompatible with their fanciful theories, to one degree or another their modus operandi is to do one of two things: twist, warp, and distort the evidence, or simply ignore it, both of which are designed to deceive their readers. 99% of the conspiracy community are not, of course, writers and authors. These conspiracy buffs, as they are frequently called, are obsessed with the assassination, have formed networks among their peers, and actually attend conspiracy-oriented conventions around the country. Though most of them are as kooky as a $3 bill in their beliefs and paranoia about the assassination, it is my belief that their motivations are patriotic, and that they are sincere in their misguided and uninformed conclusions. I cannot say that about the conspiracy authors. Unlike the buffs, virtually none of whom have a copy of the 40 official volumes on the case, the authors possess and work with these volumes. Yet the majority of them knowingly mislead their readers by lies, omissions, and deliberately distorting the official record. I realize this is an astonishing charge I am making. Unfortunately, it happens to be the truth. In any other field, such as the scientific or literary disciplines, even a fraction of these lies, distortions, and omissions by a member would cause the author to be ostracized professionally by his colleagues and peers. But in the conspiracy community of the Kennedy assassination, where one's peers have turned their mother's pictures against the wall and are telling even bigger lies themselves, and where the American public is unaware of these lies, not only is this type of deception routinely accepted by most members of the community, but the perpetrators are treated as celebrities who lecture for handsome fees and sign autographs at conventions of Warren Commission critics and conspiracy theorists. When the Warren Commission released its 888-page, 296,000-word report on September 24, 1964, a national poll showed that only a minority of Americans, 31.6%, rejected the conclusion of the commission that Oswald had acted alone. But through their torrent of books, radio and TV talk shows, movies, college lectures, and so on, over the years, the shrill voice of the conspiracy theorists finally penetrated the consciousness of the American people and actually succeeded in discrediting the Warren Commission report and convincing the overwhelming majority of Americans that Oswald either was a part of a high-level conspiracy or was just a patsy framed by some exotic and elaborate group of conspirators ranging from anti-Castro Cuban exiles to organized crime working in league with U.S. intelligence.